I had a sermon for you this morning. It lasted until about Thursday, and then everything changed. And so there is this sense that when we live and move and have our being in God, there is an invitation to come into or take up a relationship with what one theologian says is the more. Another way of understanding or articulating that God is the more. Which of course is what I believe Paul was alluding to when he addressed the Athenians. There's more than what we can create with our hands, the shrines we build, the ways we think, the constructs that we create. God is more than that. Even the Celts, the Christian Celts, understood that when the question was asked, what is or who is God, the response would be, yes, that is correct. And yet God is more. God is more. Now, why I have to change things for this morning is because what I had written was very heady. It was well written, I thought, and you know, thoughtful and relatively clear. But it wasn't landing. I needed these texts from Acts and from Deuteronomy to land for us somehow. And I wanted to get it out of my head, because that's where I live most of the time. I'm a thinker. I love abstract stuff. I enjoy walking around concepts. And if I were to go with what statistics says, most people in the congregation don't do that. They work from here, from the heart, or at the very least are much more pragmatic than I am in my lofty thinking. And I thought, this has to land differently. It just has to land, because our series of sermons through until Easter is really starting with the question, why bother? Like, why? Why do we do this? And today, why bother? Why bother with God? Why? So here we go. Seatbelts on. We bother because the answer to that question started with my own reflection on how in my family of origin there is a dark spirit, an evil spirit, that presents in what I would call emotional abuse, bullying, and narcissism. And the damage that has caused to many of my family members is profound. It takes away our sense of self, of who we are. It chips away at who we are created to be. It is an insidious pattern that in my personal life I'm choosing to stop, to say no to, as a way to protect my own children, to protect my marriage, my relationship with Susan, and to keep our family safe and to keep us well. Now, the question about why bother is because when we're dealing with that kind of power, we need something bigger than us to lean into so that we can be fully ourselves and survive, so that we can be the fully wondrous created beings that in our tradition we believe we are created to be. So make no mistake, I believe there are evil spirits that serve to confound us and keep us from being fully wondrous. It is my experience, and hopefully it is not yours. But if it is, then why it matters or why we bother with God is because as human beings, we are designed to lean into something that creates and offers us safety, healing, wonder, compassion. Or, consider AA. Here are a group of human beings who, through the process of their healing and recovery, arrive at some point, an utter moment of grace. When I speak to people in recovery, that is a word that comes up time and time again. If it were not by the grace of God, I might be dead, or on the street, or homeless, or without family. But thanks be to God, I have found a greater purpose in my life that offers healing, help, a sense of home, and most importantly, hope. Two examples that you now have of why we bother with God. Because it matters that we have the capacity to lean into the more. To lean into something that is greater than ourselves. Or as Paul says, greater than what we fix and do and make with our hands. Now this is interesting because I think over the years we've kind of got stuck because we've confused this sense of leaning into God. Leaning, and my other word for God, by the way, is wonder or wonderment. I'll come back to that, hopefully, in a minute. But the sense of coming back to leaning in into God, into the more, I believe is how we are designed as creatures, that our utter purpose is to offer praise. Is to be one that is open to wonder. Okay? Now here's where I think we got lost. You might remember, a long time ago in the 17th century, 16th century, this was a long time ago. I mean what I say. So 500 years ago, let's say, there was a guy named Galileo. Remember him? Galileo was an astronomer, of course, and he followed very closely the discoveries of his predecessor, who was Copernicus. And what Copernicus figured out was that, to the best of his observations, the sun did not revolve around the earth, but in fact, the earth revolved around the sun. And this was huge. Discovery. Because up until that point, the church believed that the earth was flat and the sun went around. Now, to the eye, that makes sense. And it was exceptionally frightening to think of anything else because people really believed that if you saw the earth and then it disappeared. And the thinking was that if you got to the place where it disappeared, you would fall off the edge and literally disappear. It was quite frightening. So it was, in the sense then, for the sun to go around this way was comforting. We were the center of everything. Along comes Copernicus, and he says, well, actually, I don't think that's true. And the church was very committed to Aristotle and Ptolemy. That was the way the church understood the universe. It was the right way to believe. And heaven help anybody who chose to believe differently, because right belief was safe. As long as we believed correctly, we were all right. So guess what happened to our dear friends Copernicus and Galileo? Do you know what happened to them? All of Copernicus' books were banned, and Galileo was excommunicated from the church. Now, one might wonder, is this a debate between science and theology? Or is it a debate between right belief and wrong belief? What do you think? Hands up, science and theology. Hands up, right belief, wrong belief. Yes. Yeah, it's okay. Thanks for being vulnerable, you science and theology people. You know, because we do. I mix this up. For a while, I was thinking this was a theological argument, because at that time, theology was the queen of the sciences. It was the canopy of wonderment under which all of the disciplines lived and moved and had their being. It's not like that anymore, and I feel that at the time, this was the beginning where the church went off track, and we began to confuse sound and good theology with right and wrong belief. So, the problem with Galileo was that he challenged right belief, which is comfortable, and it was a threat then, because those holding ecclesiastical power were unwilling to let go. They were unable to create room for exploration and discovery, and what Galileo was doing was beginning to poke holes in long-held beliefs. And the church was not ready to let go of right belief. This is a problem even to today. We have confused wonderment and God's grace and beauty. In fact, Rob Bell would say God is all about pleasure and love. And we have been busy in parts of our tradition trying to live out what is right. And so the Latin word assensus, the root of giving assent to or believing in, has confused us. Because my view is, since Thursday, that we've been busy about trying to figure out what's right and make that the center of how we practice our faith, rather than inviting play. What did he say? Play. In literature and in art and in the creative world, we talk about the muse, which is that sense of spirit that moves within us and allows for us to give expression somehow in a creative way. Now, if you stay with me, what I want to suggest is that the tradition, the Judeo-Christian tradition, the scriptures that we have, the writings of the prophets and the sages, the gospels and everything that we have now, what we call the Bible, when we read that, the invitation is not to read it right, but to read it with a sense of play. Why? Because when we read it with a sense of play, we open ourselves to wonder. And when we open ourselves to wonder, we create room for us to experience the wider and deeper mysteries of what is embodied in the text. Does that make sense? Is it making sense? Because it's really important we get it. It's really important that we don't go down the path of, I need to read this the right way and hold on to the right belief, because that is the language of fear. And the language of, how would I say it? The language of being stuck. The Gospels and the texts of the Bible, I believe, especially in the Jewish tradition, were never intended to evoke a right answer, ever. The Jewish tradition was more about questions. There's the story about a rabbi who said, okay, students, your homework this week is to take this text from Deuteronomy and come back to me next week with all your questions. Off they went. The next week they come back, and they had some questions. Some of them had answers. But the rabbi was disappointed. He said, you don't have anywhere near enough questions. Not enough. Go home. Come up with some more. Come back next week. I want all of your questions. Because you see, the way of studying and opening the way towards wisdom and understanding is to invite play. Let's play with the text. Let's see what happens if I look at it from this angle. Or what happens if I go underneath it and look at it this way? What happens if I'm standing on the planet Earth right now and I'm actually looking down instead of up? You know that's true, right? If you go outside tonight and look at the stars, and I pray there are stars for you to look at, I'd like you to think about standing there and looking down at the stars. See, Galileo had figured that out. Right? Gravity's holding us upside down so that we can look down into the heavens. That's play. That's what I want to invite you to consider when you're reading scripture, is to sit back and try and look at it from this way or from this way. Somehow to open up the room for you and all of those around you to wonder. Theology was the queen of the sciences whose canopy was wonderment under which all of the sciences lived. That's how we go at the text. And that's why it matters that we bother about God, because God invites us to wonder. God invites us to lean into so that we can rest. Rest. And play, and be, and move, and have all that we are freed up enough so that we can be fully, fully embodied creatures of praise and wonder. Now, I think the science and theology thing continues, by the way. I think they're both in trouble. Right? We're living in a time now where science, well, it's sort of coming out of a period of being rather arrogant, I think. And now, there are folks who don't believe in science anymore. Don't believe in climate change. Don't believe in scientific proof. Don't believe in research. Don't believe in it. And then on the other hand, there's people who don't believe in God, don't believe in wonder, believe in right thinking, right belief. Right this, right that, wrong this, wrong that. and we're all in a mess. So it matters to me, at least, that we are beginning to play and become theologians so that we can wonder. Imagine what might have been different if those holding ecclesiastical power at the time of Galileo said, let me hang on for a minute. What you're saying is Aristotle and Ptolemy may not actually have all of the truth. And what if we just wondered about what you're saying a little bit? How might we make theological sense of our newly developing awareness of what it means to live in a universe where we're actually moving around the sun? So, in conclusion, there is the sense that each and every one of us has in our own narrative, in our own story, where we're more than likely troubled by some form of evil spirit that, given half a chance, will take away our life, and we will live as wounded human beings for a very long time. Until we get to the place where we make a choice, says the people in Deuteronomy, you choose to love the Lord your God. Love. Right? Everything, our whole being. Why bother? Because we are designed. That is my assumption. You may disagree with me. Some scientists don't like what I would say about this because there's no scientific evidence for this whatsoever. But that's where the debate and the conversation is really important. We are all talking the same stuff, but we're just using different words because we're all fixated on wonder. We're all trying to make sense out of the world. So when I look at a sunset, I could go, wow, look at all the particles of light and quarks and unknown neutrons and whatever they're doing, dancing away to create that. That's pretty cool. Or I can turn around again and look at it and say, wow, that is absolutely glorious. What an act of God. What a mystery. How I wonder and lean into the beauty that is that. That's what we do. We do it. Everybody I talk to will tell me about an experience they had of God or the Spirit or the more when they've been camping or in the trees or in the woods or on the prairie or looking up at the sky or down, depending which way you want to look at it. You know, we're all moved by wonder. So that's what we need to tap into when there's evil spirits around, because that's where our power is. That's what gets us back on track and helps us claim more fully who we are so that we can stand in our being and live in it and move in it and understand that as a product of wonder and play. Amen.